Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
Talking of evolution, talking of change, what have you made of the Black Lives Matter movement? And you know what, I'm going to say at this point, because I know you and I have discussed it so much in recent weeks, and that's great, thank you, because I've really enjoyed hearing your thoughts on it, but I want to kind of get them on record now. I don't know what else to call it other than the Black Lives Matter movement, because but Black Lives Matter is obviously an organization that a lot of people, some people feel uncomfortable with. It is also a statement that says Black Lives Matter, because of course they do. And I know that we've all come in for some criticism of this. You know, we were wearing badges to show our support, and then people were like, well, hang on a minute, do you even know what this organization stands for? So I kind of wanted to clarify that to begin with, that I, and I know you're the same, back and believe in improvement, change, diversity, on every level in Formula One. What has been your initial kind of, your initial thoughts, if you like, and how have they evolved over the recent weeks?
I think it's been a really educational couple of months for me, really. If I'm perfectly honest, I didn't understand why the movement gathered such a lot of steam on this occasion after obviously the tragedy with George Floyd in the States. But it's you know, things like police brutality aren't new. It's not something that's, so I was trying to get my head around why suddenly on this occasion it's gathered so much momentum. And then in that process, I spent time speaking to, so a friend of mine works in New York for the state, and part of her her role is essentially she's a psychologist, and she works with patients understanding whether they are ready to be put back into society after they've served a certain amount of time in prison. So she worked at Rikers Island, you know, some of the really tough prisons in there, and having several conversations with her made me really fully understand, because I haven't spent that much time in the States, so I don't really understand how big the problem was. But having these conversations with her made me understand how much there is still an issue between how Black people are treated by the police versus white people. And so, you know, you start with that, and then you start to broaden the conversation to what Formula One have talked about, which is, you know, it's about diversity and inclusion, not just to do with race. It's to do with gender. It's to do with socioeconomic, which I think is very important and often overlooked. Because I think, you know, when people talk about diversity and inclusion, they immediately go to race or gender. But actually, you know, we need to really look at the socioeconomic side of it and see how do we make it more affordable for people to go and get the qualifications they need to work as an engineer or to get onto the ladder of karting to become a driver from all different walks of life. I think, you know, there's other aspects. You know, how do you make the introspective versus the introverts versus the extroverts, right? How does, if you look at even in let's say in any meeting in the paddock, it's the extroverts that are heard. You know, you and I are lucky, we are extroverts. But when we sit around a table of 10 or 12 people, there may be an introvert around there who actually has some, you know, really, really important, valuable opinions, but is shy to share it. How do we make that person feel comfortable and included? And it's something that, honestly, we don't all think about enough. And I think, so, you know, it's, as I said, it's been a really educational couple of months for me to understand really what, as a sport, Formula One needs to do. And I think that includes all of us as the community, as you know, members of this sport.
I want to add sexual orientation to your list as well, because I'm really surprised the lack of openly gay men and women there are in Formula One. And then on top of that, I was talking, obviously, we were all talking to Lewis at the weekend after the Hungarian race, and he made the point, I just wonder how much would have been done in our sport if I wasn't here. And he wasn't trying to give himself a pat on the back. He was just saying, you know, I am a six-time world champion, and I'm being heard because of my status within the sport. If I wasn't here, would anything be done? What do you think?
I think he's got a very powerful voice, and he's using it. I think there is an element of truth in what he's saying. You know, certainly he's got the ability to really make people sit up and think. If I'm perfectly honest, his tweets and his Instagram posts made me pay more attention to reading about the subject and learning about the subject. So, you know, I'll stick my hand up and say, absolutely, I was influenced by what he was saying. I think what's interesting is the reaction of different people in the paddock, and this is also amongst other drivers. I think, you know, some of the drivers have looked at it and gone, yeah, you know what, fair play to Lewis, he's right, we should be thinking about it more, I should be educating myself more, because this is an interesting point, which is the school of thought that, as I said, I came from. But there are others who, just because Lewis called them out on for not speaking about it, put their noses completely out of joint and have completely disconnected themselves from the conversation and are sort of doing the bare minimum to appease their sport or appease their team, to without actually engaging in the conversation.
So do you think he got it wrong then by coming out on the offensive? Perhaps if he'd encouraged a wider dialogue, if you like, from the off.
Because I
get why he was pissed off and why he wanted to say what he did. But maybe, as you say, that did put people's backs up. Maybe that did.
I think at the end of the day, drivers are like any other sportsman, right? They've all got an ego. All racing drivers have an ego. And it's just a different level of ego. And certainly, you know, I think there's some drivers whose noses were put out of joint because of the way he came, as you said, on the front foot. And maybe if he'd done it in a more private way and just send them all a personal email saying, look, guys, this is the situation. These are my thoughts. I'm going to propose to F1 that this, it would be good to do, you know, and I'd really appreciate your support in this. And I do think he certainly from the minority, it is a minority of people that he seems to have rubbed up the wrong way in the way and the tone he's taken. I think that may have been a more effective way to do it.
And do you think there's anything in the fact that they're obviously a hugely competitive bunch? I mean, I know we always talk about the Premier League and we say, you know, how clean and striking that image of them all taking the knee was. But the bottom line is they are a team. They do need to be unified and they are taking a stance as one. Whereas we've got quite a disparate group here. We've got competitors who probably don't want to say, well, you know, I'm fighting against him on the track. Why would I come together for this? Now, I'm not saying that's right, because it would be so powerful.
But I don't think that's the issue. I think what we have to consider is F1 is a bit more complex, because you've got 14 different nationalities of drivers on the grid. I think you've got
football teams as well, though.
I know, but what I'm saying is you got 14 different nationalities amongst 20 people as a percentage. Right. That's quite a
culture.
International group.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, different people have got different cultural reasons. I think Daniel Kefir, for example, from Russia, explained his reasons for not taking the knee. But also, I think, and I mentioned this on our broadcast on Sky Sports F1, I think it's, yes, the knee, taking the act of taking the knee by the drivers is a very powerful sign. And it's a very powerful symbol of support. But we need to be careful here, because so much of the conversation following the races has been about which drivers did or didn't take the knee. Mm-hmm. We need to be careful that we don't lose sight of the bigger conversation. And, you know, the symbolism shouldn't overtake the bigger picture conversation, which is actually, how do we fix the sport, which is currently in the paddock? I think I read a stat somewhere that was 97% white at the moment and 88% male. You know, and that's even before going into the other categorizations that we've talked about before. So, you know, really what we need to be talking about is how do we address those balances? Well, I suppose the first question is, does the sport want to redress that balance? And the answer is yes. We know they do. Chase Carey has made a very powerful statement by contributing $1 million himself, personally. So we know the appetite is there and the will is there. So now I think the conversation really needs to be about how are we going to redress that balance?
Yeah. Have you encountered racism within the sport or unconscious bias? What kind of has been your own personal experience?
For me personally, and again, I need to reiterate that this is only my personal experience. It doesn't mean that it's the same that what Lewis or Alex Albon or Narain or anyone else's experience. But in my personal, 20 odd years of driving in the sport and working as a broadcaster, the answer is no from the core of the sport. You know, I never felt that I was treated differently by other drivers in wheel-to-wheel battle or by teams or engineers or mechanics or anyone like that, you know. And it was fascinating. I saw the documentary about Willie T. Ribbs on Netflix called Uppity. And I couldn't relate to it. You know, I was struggling to relate to this guy. The you know, open, you know, racism that he felt, where people were giving him duff engines and he was getting, you know, real secondhand treatment purely because of the color of his skin. It was extraordinary for me to see. It was really eye-opening and quite sad to see, really. But, you know, for me personally, it's never been, I've never personally experienced in that level. So I call that the core of the sport, right? I call it the core of the sport, who travel, the traveling circus that goes around to different parts of the world. I think where certainly there's a couple of occasions which does make you think, you know, I've for example, brought friends into the paddock who have mentioned to me, they said, you know, you look around, you realize not many non-white people here, are there? And I think for me, because I grew up in a motorsport environment, I've always felt like I belong in the paddock, and I've never questioned that. Whereas actually, if you, I think, first walk in there, it does make people check themselves. Hey, hang on, what's going on here? Do we belong here? Which is an interesting perspective, which completely went over my head, to be honest. And it's something I've had to think about recently. But it's, I think, the peripheries of the sport. You know, for example, there's several races I go to where we do, you know, the security checks when you go in. Certainly my bag gets checked more than other people. You know, I remember there was a race, and I mentioned this to Eddie Jordan, and I said to him, I said, you watch, whichever car, we had a convoy of four cars going in. I said, whichever car I'm going in will be the one where the bags get searched. And it happened. And the next day I switched cars, and it happened again in the other car. And then I switched cars again the third day. And he didn't believe me till I got to the third day. He said, "Why?" You know, I said, look, these aren't things that you guys have to think about, but I know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a part of our life that you, you know, you unfortunately, I don't want to use the word get used to, but you almost come to expect in some parts. But that's not an F1 problem, right? That's a societal problem in that country, because that's those aren't people who work in Formula One. Those are people on the periphery of the sport.
It's so interesting because you say that's not something that we have to think about. It's also not even something that we necessarily notice being white. And yeah. I had a black co-host for an NFL show that I used to present. And I suggested that we met at Shoreditch House for a production meeting. And he was like, yeah, okay, that's okay. And he walked in and he said, look, just out of interest, look around. And I was like, yeah, what? And he went, do you see another black person in this whole place? And I went, no, I don't. Now he said, now flip that. And you've come to meet me for a production meeting and you walk in and you don't see a single other white person. You have to say you'd feel intimidated because you'd feel out of sorts and like you weren't welcome. And I thought, shit, I hadn't even thought of it like that. And this is why the whole process and all these conversations matter. And they really help because we're all being educated. We're all works in progress. And actually talking to Lewis on Sunday off camera, he said, I don't have all the answers. I'm learning on this as well. And it was refreshing to hear him say that. But I have to say how impressed we all were with just how incredibly well he performed in Hungary when he has got so much going on off track as well. Because that would and could be a distraction for some people. And it clearly isn't for him. If anything, it almost motivates and energizes him, which is astonishing. Brilliant.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, he's able to clearly create that separation in his mind between when he needs to focus on driving the car and and then focus on other issues outside of it. It is very impressive, and I think it's been really interesting talking to people within the sport, within the paddock, because the immediate reaction, and I've seen this even on like my Facebook feeds and things like that from people I know from within the sport. And there's like this immediate reaction from people of saying, oh, I'm not racist. I have, and often they'll come up with some story about how they have a black or brown friend and this and this and this happened. And therefore they're not. And it's like, no, you're not getting the big picture here. You're not understanding it. And, I told a story of how I went to the station on, I think it was three occasions I've been to the station to pick my wife up when she got off the train. And, I was parked at the station in the sort of pickup area and somebody got in the back of the car because they assumed I was a taxi driver. Now that person probably doesn't, they probably don't think they're racist or they don't think they have racist thoughts or any unconscious biases, but that showed that they did. There was a subconscious bias. And I think that's been the interesting thing for me in this last couple of months is actually just learning about the concept, not necessarily the concept because I was aware of it, but just learning about how prevalent subconscious biases are in society. Mm. And just trying to get people to think about what they say, how they say it. There's a fine line with friends as well, right? I think there's a lot of people who like you do with your close friends and your families, you do take certain liberties and you do make certain jokes and you do get, you do relax a bit and things are taken by the recipient in the right way. But that's totally different versus somebody completely unknown to you making comments or saying things. And I think that, there are moments where you look to your colleagues for support. I think there's, certainly I remember when I rejoined Sky at the beginning of last year, and there's a bit of controversy around whether Ted was going to be part of the team or not. And the number of, tweets and messages I got, which were pretty abusive, racially, was extraordinary. And, I was lucky that the management of Sky called me straight away and, just said, look, want to make sure you're okay. Do we need any support? And this, and I was very grateful for that. They were there to support me. And, Mark Webber called me from Australia and he was sitting in his house in Noosa. And he said, look, I've seen a couple of tweets. If you need me to fire a few missiles at them, just let me know. And, I appreciate people like that coming out to support. And I think that to me shows that there is a very much a sense of community within the sport, and we have a powerful ability to rally together. We've just got to get a clear plan in place on how we channel that energy.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.